Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Global Intelligence Update. And as always, we've got a global star with us, Nikki Bush. And for those that don't know who Nikki is, Nikki created the Human Potential Expert, transforms humans by speaking human. Oh, sorry, transforms leaders by speaking human. With a practical framework, she helps leaders grasp the essence of keeping the human in the middle. Nikki's accolades includes being the first South African woman inducted into both the Speakers and Educators Hall of Fame and receiving recognition from the Ford Motor Company as a woman with drive. As a sought-after media personality, Nikki has conducted over 4,500 interviews and authored 5 books, including Future Proof Yourself, published by Penguin Random House in 2021. Please welcome Nikki Bush and help us to learn how to speak human in leadership. Floor is all yours, Nikki, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Chris, and good morning to everybody who is here with us online. And we're going to be talking about a pretty personal topic when it comes to leadership. And the topic is it doesn't have to be lonely at the top. By show of hands, has anyone felt lonely at the top? And I know that most of you who are watching are in leadership positions. You are running your own businesses, which is even more lonely than if you were running a big team and a big corporate. And even then, with the work that I do with corporates, I find that leaders feel very lonely. And they feel almost isolated in their ivory tower of having to know all the answers, of having to lead this team, of having to get it right. And so a lot of the loneliness is almost a mindset that's created by oneself. And we have to be very intentional about how we go about not being lonely at the top. And this presentation was inspired by a request from an organization called MD to MD in the UK. And their mantra is about helping CEOs in the UK of mid-range size businesses to not be lonely, to hold their hand through the leadership journey. And so I'm going to share some of my nuggets, some of my advice today that is in my high touch leadership program and that I tweaked for MD to MD, and I'm going to tweak for you today. And the first thing I want to say is that as leaders, we really need to be more like the sheep farmers in Australia. Now, you can put all your smiley faces, laughing emojis up because you're going, I did not come here today to hear about being a sheep farmer in Australia, but there is some wisdom that comes from the sheep farmers in Australia. You see, their farms are so big. Their farms are so big that they cannot fence in the sheep. And the trap we often fall into as leaders is trying to micromanage and fence in our employees and keep them sort of trapped under our control. And often that leads to a rebellion. So the wisdom in the sheep farmers in Australia is because of the sheer vastness of their properties, they can't afford to fence in their sheep. So they have developed a different strategy. And that strategy is that they dig sweet, deep wells so that the sheep can come and drink water, fresh, clear, cool water from those wells as and when required. And that means that they get their sheep to not stray too far from those sweet, deep wells. And I think it's a really interesting concept. Perhaps raise your hand if you agree, that this is an interesting concept. So, how do we as leaders dig sweet, deep wells so that our teams come back to drink on a regular basis by choice? Because they want to, not because we force them to. Because we're living in an era where leadership has changed. We are supposed to be these empathetic, vulnerable leaders. Of course, most people don't understand how to put that into practice. And Ian is giving me a good nod there. I mean, those are big words and they're quite personal. But I'm going to share some tools with you today that will enable you to actually be that empathetic, vulnerable leader and help you to dig those sweet, deep wells by raising your facilitation skills and by bringing out the coach in you. Now, for some of you who are here, you haven't done a coaching course, although I see we have Steve here, and Steve has been an Olympic hockey player. He is somebody who has coached many people. Ian Hatton, you're a coach of leaders. Heather, you're a coach largely of women coming into their personal power. So we do have a number of coaches here, but for the most part, leaders in organizations and leaders of teams were not taught how to be a coach. So I'm going to give you some shortcuts today, some frameworks that will help to bring out the coach in you. And it really is important that we create meetings that matter. As leaders, we so often have meetings for presenteeism's sake. And we need to create more interesting meetings that matter more. That's part of the sweet, deep well concept, that we create meetings people want to come to. They don't want to miss out. There's FOMO if they don't pitch to a meeting. That's the kind of leader that you need to be. So moving on to the first visual. I love this visual of this old-fashioned carriage being drawn by all these horses. Because teaming with your team is a gift. It's a gift. And teaming with your team is about giving your team boundaries, giving them expectations. Where are they going to? They need direction. Because if these horses drawing this very fancy carriage were not given direction and boundaries, all the horses would be going in different directions, and that carriage wouldn't get very far very quickly. And this is the important part of leadership, is how do you dig those sweet, deep wells so that your team comes together and moves in the same direction towards, in most business environments, adding value or delivering value to the business. That's your mandate as a leader, to enable your team to deliver that value to the business. Interestingly, though, that value cannot be delivered if you don't focus on the people piece. And this is where many leaders fall down, because they are technically proficient at the job or the operations side of things, but perhaps haven't honed their people leadership skills. So we need to ramp up our people focus. And I want to share with you my blueprint that underpins all of my business when I work with clients, because it proves the point about how important the people are if you want to ignite your bottom line. Now, every leader I work with wants to ignite their bottom line. They can't be in business if the metrics are not going in the right direction. And there's nothing that makes a leader panic more in business than if the metrics are not showing that the turnover is going up, that they're reducing risk, that they're reducing expenses, etc. The dials have got to go in the right direction. So if you are a business owner or a business leader, which most of you are, primarily to stay in business, you want to shift your bottom line. And that means, and I have three C's on this blueprint that are very important. You want more contribution from your people. That means that you want more of their skills, their time, their energy, their commitment. And in order to get more commitment, in order to get over the line with your team, we need to understand that we live in a very volatile world where the macroeconomic conditions are largely out of our control. We need to be more responsive and more creative in how we respond. There are many things that are impacting on your people as individuals. So there's a lot of change and disruption. So go down to the bottom left of the triangle and you'll see the word choice. The word choice is really important because people today want to feel a sense of control over their lives, and they want to be able to choose how they get to control circumstances. So as a leader, Part of your role today is to focus on your people, ramp up your people focus, acknowledge all of the change that's going on, all of the things that are making people feel uncomfortable, and take them on a journey of embracing the change and disruption by choice. Help them to reframe what they're going through by choice in a positive way to help them find the collateral beauty in the collateral damage. And then the third C on the right-hand side is curiosity. Living in such a world of exponential change, we need to help our teams come to the table to exercise their most courageous what-if thinking. Their most courageous what-if thinking. And we're talking about what if happens, looking at scenario planning, looking at plan A, B, and C. And today we often have to tap dance because how business plays out, how strategy plays out in our businesses often doesn't go from A, B, C through to Z in order. It actually dots around. We can go to A to H to B to Z to L to M. It'll still happen, but not necessarily in the way you might have planned. So we need to help all of our people to exercise self-leadership, to choose to be with us on the journey and help them reframe disruption. And I'm going through the center red circles in this blueprint. Exercise high-touch leadership skills, which means really digging those sweet, deep wells, using some of the frameworks I'm going to give you shortly, in order to ignite your team to shift that bottom line. So every leader is worried about the money. We've got to follow the money. But by following the money, the people piece has to come alongside it. And this is the piece that is often absent with many leaders, as they don't have the facilitation and the coaching skills. So we're going to re-script leadership this morning and shift from being purely transactional, yes, it's my job to deal with people, to actually become connection experts who are digging these sweet, deep wells very, very consciously, because of course we are talking about conscious leadership today. So let's have a look at why people do what they do. This is the human behavior piece. This is the stuff that I specialize in and do every single day. Why do people do what they do? And when I talk about this, it's not just the people you lead and it's not just your clients, but I'm actually talking about you, Andrea, Philippe, Brad, Ian. I'm talking about you, Chris. This is how we all respond in our lives. Number one, everybody is playing the attention game. Everybody, hands up. If you understand what I'm talking about, do you all want to be noticed by the people who are important to you? That could be your colleague, your partner. It could be your husband, your wife. It could be anybody who is significant to you and whose opinion of you matters. So why do people do what they do? We often show up searching for attention. So everybody who is your direct report or is on your team is actually looking for your attention. They want to be noticed every single day. They also want to feel in control of their lives, especially when they feel out of control. The interesting thing is that when we feel out of control, our instinct is to go into over control. That equals micromanagement. And nobody likes to be micromanaged. In fact, when you micromanage somebody else, they also go into over control. And then we start getting into this vicious cycle of micromanaging and rejection and negative attention seeking behavior to control the uncontrollable. And then it becomes really messy. And the third point is that I believe that people are naturally curious. And as a leader, you need to ignite that curiosity. That curiosity to use that courageous what-if thinking. In the face of fear and anxiety, curiosity is the antidote to fear. So how are you taking your team on an adventure into being curious about what they don't know? I love this line, you don't know what you don't know. And today, when we're taking our leaders into uncharted waters, unmapped territory. We need to really be curious about what's out there that we don't know, because a lot of the answers and solutions are lying out there, not in our lived experience. So helping people to be brave and courageous, to be curious, is very important. Now let's go back to the need for attention, because there are three very, very important questions that everybody on this planet asks every single day of the people who matter to them. And they're asking these non-verbally, subconsciously. So I'm going to give you a wake-up call today, because I don't think you even realize that you are asking these questions of the people whose opinions matter to you. And these are the questions. You might even want to grab your phone or write these down right now. The three questions are these. And if you have children, by the way, who are the parents in the room today? Who are the parents? Hands up. Your children have been asking you these questions every single day of their lives from the very day they were born, without knowing it. So this is common to the human condition. The first one is, do you see me? Do you see me? Do you see all of me? Do you see me, not just my body that I pitched to work today, that I woke up today, but do you see all of me and all of my potential? Do you hear me? Not just the words I'm saying, but the words I cannot say and the spaces between my words. Now, Steve, I know that you will understand this. When you've got team members on a field needing to perform at their best, you need to be listening for the gaps between the words, the things they're not saying to you. How they're showing up and behaving will tell you that there's something amiss. And you need to be alert to that, because that could be the, you know, that could make or break a match in your world, or a success, getting a team over a line in the business sense, because I know you do both sport and you do business. So really, we're talking about deep listening here, guys. We're listening beyond the words. We're listening to the vibration. We're listening to what's coming off someone. Or not. And then the third point is, am I important to you? People need to know that they matter to you. And you give them cues all the time by the way you look at them. Are you making eye contact when you're actually with somebody, whether it's online or whether it is in person? Do you switch off your cell phone when you have 5 minutes with someone? Do you make eye contact? Your body language says so much. Do you pitch up on time when you said you would? Because that speaks volumes as to whether you respect someone and they're actually important to you. So these three questions are fundamental to the human condition. And if you actually use this as a blueprint for everything you do, for every relationship you have, especially with family members and your direct reports in your business or your immediate most important clients, this will set you up for success. If this is the only thing you take away from today, I will be happy. And exercise it. Make a sticky note, put it on the side of your screen, and make sure you are running through these questions all the time in terms of the relationships that you have with people whom you need to help to give their best performance. So let's talk about bringing out the coach in you, because as I've already said, attention is rocket fuel for teams. Attention is rocket fuel for teams. The first thing is that you need to understand the new employee mantra, and that is know me, focus me, and care for me. So the know me part, we've already spoken about in those three questions. Do you see me? Do you hear me? Am I important to you? And beyond that, know me. Know me beyond my job. Know how many family members I have. Know whether I'm married or not. Know whether I've just got divorced. Know if my mother is dying. Know which rugby or soccer team I follow. You need to know who I am, what's important to me. Focus me means that you know my skill set, that you know my KPIs, and that you're helping me to focus that in a in a nice narrow way, because people are so overwhelmed today by the world, by change, by expectations, that they often get confused and lose their focus very quickly. Part of your mandate as a leader is to help focus people in order to help them to perform, to add value to the business, to help you achieve what you want to achieve as a team. And then Care for Me has come in very recently. This is the empathetic, vulnerable leader who needs to show that they care, that they're paying attention, that they care. I came across this amazing, amazing business leader recently in the energy industry. He has 80 people in his team in Tanzania. He doesn't have 80 direct reports, but he has 80 people in the entire team. And I discovered just how good he is at making personal connections that make people feel cared for and that he is paying attention. He writes a personalized handwritten Christmas card to every one of those 80 employees every year. And he goes back to things he has heard of through the year, like, "I hope your mum recovered well from her surgery early this year." What an impact. What an impact those old-fashioned handwritten Christmas cards have on his team, and really ensure that his team is behind him because he's behind them. And that is what people want today. They want to know someone's got their back, someone's actually truly interested in them. In such a digital screen-based world, this is truly, truly important to show up in a human way for your people. Then the second point here is to reinvent your weekly one-on-ones with your direct reports. Now, who would like the framework for doing this? Because there is a framework. Please pop your email addresses in the chat right now. I'm going to talk about the framework and explain it, but I can send you details on how to put the framework into action if you pop your email address into the chat, and Chris will send those to me. So let's look at reinventing your weekly one-on-ones with your direct reports. Did you hear what I said there? There is time. Weekly. Okay, and half of you are probably going to go, "Weekly, oh my goodness. I do not have time for that." How many of your clients do not have weekly one-on-ones with their direct reports? And I think we can all put two hands up here as to how many clients we know who actually push out the one-on-ones with their direct reports. These are not job appraisals. These are emotional temperature check-ins. These are quick. This is not a meeting you plan for, as in you do not have to have an agenda. The person you're meeting with does not have to come in with a prepared report. This is not that meeting. This is not the delivery meeting. This is not the performance meeting. This is the I care meeting, and I'm listening to you. This is the weekly emotional temperature check-in where you are using those three questions. Do you see me? Do you hear me? Am I important to you? You are answering those questions by showing up, by committing to showing up every week. If it's possible, and in different industries it is or isn't possible to have it on the same time, on the same day, every single week. So let's take an ideal world. In an ideal world, you do this on a Friday afternoon, and you are going to ask these questions. And you are going to narrow down the focus, because we spoke about the fact that you've got this big delivery for the year that you've got to do, you know, with your team. We've got to deliver to the business, and it's full of this much action. But actually, people today have such a short span of focus that you've actually got to narrow things down to last week and next week, because that's about all people can handle. So Focus Me is about last week and next week. And we are playing the attention game here by listening when we ask these questions. This is not a conversation where it's tit for tat. You need to understand this. This is a quick check-in that should take no more than 7 to 15 minutes. Wouldn't that be fantastic? If you can spend a quality 7 to 15 minutes with each direct report every single week. Of course, this cannot happen if you have 30 direct reports. And that is already a big warning sign that a leader has too many people reporting to them. You can only do this if you have about between 5 and 7 people. So let's talk about last week. So Susie, if I was talking to you or Andile, or let's see who's still here in person, Andrea. So Andrea, you're my direct report. And in my 7 to 14 minutes with you, and the better you get at this, the shorter your check-in will become because you become so skilled. They need to know that you're not going to talk back much. You are listening. You want to hear from them. So Andrea, last week, so it's now Friday, this past week, Andrea, just very quickly, what worked for you? And it's a quick thing. I don't want you to go into big stories, so I'm also training you to be sharp. So I need you to bullet point, speed date with me, 4 or 5 things that worked for you last week. And then the second question, once you finish downloading what worked for you, is what didn't work for you? Because I need to know the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because if I don't know what's going on in your world, I can't help you. So I want to know the good. I want to know the bad. You see, if you and 3 other colleagues keep telling me that something's not working in production, and you keep telling me about the same person who's messing up production, I know that we as a team have a problem. And I know how to fix it because you've all said the same thing to me. Or if you keep telling me the same thing every week that's working for you, that somebody's shooting the lights out and supporting you, I know that we need to honor and celebrate somebody because you keep telling me it's the same person, it's a pattern. Or if you keep telling me the same thing is not working, I can do something about it. So that gives me a snapshot of what happened for you last week. Then we go into next week because now I need to focus you. So we've done the report back. Now we go to how do I focus your skills and your talents in the service of where we're going as a team. So let's think about next week, Andrea. What are your priorities for next week? And we can even say, what are your top 3 priorities or your top 5 or your 1 most important priority? It's super important that in the list of 50 things that we get you to give focus to your top 3 or your top 5 so that you're not overwhelmed. So you are telling me what you are going to be focusing on. And my final question is going to be, right, fantastic. Thanks for giving me that focus and that direction. Now, how can I help you? Is there one thing that I can do, Andrea, to help you to deliver on those 3 priorities for next week? I'm not offering to do your job. I'm not offering to micromanage you, but I am saying, is there a resource you need? Is there a connection? Can I connect you with somebody? Or do you just need me to be a sounding board? That would be a gift of my time and my attention to focus you more and help you to be more successful. How does this resonate for all of you? Is this feeling like something that is simple enough that you can put into action today? Let's see if we've got a thumbs up, a hands up, a wave. Can we put this into action today? You see, I believe that we've got way too much complex management theory out there. We've got a lot of people who are trying to do things by the book and sound really, really clever. And we get drowned in management speak. And that management speak is a turn off. Because that management speak makes you as my leader look scary and inaccessible and not empathetic and not vulnerable. Whereas if you are spending 15 minutes with me being quiet, other than the questions you ask me, and I know you are truly giving me the gift of your time by listening to me, even if I'm whining about what didn't work for me, you are treating me as a real human being. And guess what, people? Our teams are made of people, and people are human beings. It's the people who are behind the processes and the platforms that make businesses successful. It's the people who are still the engine room. Even if you're working with AI, it's the people who determine how AI is shaped. So we've still got to keep our finger on the pulse of our people. And I have found no better way than this weekly one-on-one framework with your most important direct reports to travel closely to them, to keep your ear to the ground so that you pick up problems in the early stages, not when they've dropped a stitch 50 rows down the knitting. You need to be picking up the issues early on. You need to be picking up the good things quickly so that you can celebrate them. Because by doing this, you are giving out a message that I know what's going on in this team. I know what's going on with each of you. I care, and I am here for you. And together, we are going to do great things. It gives them the confidence in you to have confidence in themselves, to be brave and bold and be curious, which is what we want, and to go and courageously use that what if thinking and be experimental, which is what we keep talking about. But teams cannot be experimental if they do not feel safe. And most people feel very unsafe in the work environment today. So this is your weekly check-in framework for those very important people in your life who are going to make things happen for you. But it takes commitment. If you start this process, you need to carry it on. And I'm going to challenge you today to do this for a month, every single week. Do it for a month. And please drop me an email in a month's time to nikki@nikkibush.com and tell me how it's going. How is it going for you? I'm really happy to even do another hour with you, an online coaching session with you, a group coaching session, just to get feedback. So if you've asked for the resources, I'm very happy to set up with Chris an hour where we can talk about how this framework has been working for you, because I think it would be interesting to hear from each other, because we learn from each other. The social learning piece is so important. So this is how you're going to bring out the coach in you, how you're going to raise your coaching skills without even having to go on a coaching course. How about that? You don't have to go and join a business school and do a six-month MDP or LDP. I've actually given you some keys to the kingdom right now. This is a beautiful hack that you can implement tomorrow without having to take time out of the office and go and do a six-month course. And it works. I have done this with many, many clients. I had one client who was able to not lose 7 out of 30 senior leaders who were wanting to jump ship because they didn't like his leadership style. And we just implemented this. I did 1 or 2 coaching sessions with him to bring out his authentic human leadership voice. And he used this framework, and his people fell in love with him. And I think that that's what we need to be aiming for in a certain sense, that they fall in love with the caring, empathetic part of who you are. I think it's so easy to become the boss that becomes the bottleneck. When we micromanage a team, when we don't know our people, when we don't trust them to do the job they've been hired for, we tend to cause a bottleneck because every decision has to come through us and it's exhausting. So don't do it. Rather, replace being a bottleneck with your framework for your one-on-ones with your direct reports. So to raise your facilitation skills, it's important to raise your facilitation skills in order to lower the resistance to contribution. Remember, the third cornerstone of my Ignite Bottom Line blueprint is curiosity. And to get people to be curious and to experiment, we need to lower the resistance to raising a hand. So often, a leader's voice echoes in an echo chamber and it's empty and their voice is the only one in the echo chamber and they think they have to know all the answers, but they don't. They actually need to be crowdsourcing answers from the team, giving people the responsibility. So when someone comes to you and says, I don't know what to do about this, have you got any ideas? Or can you help me? Your first question actually needs to be, I don't know, what do you think? First, get them to contribute before you come out with all guns blazing and all the answers. And it's important to empower your people in that way, that you believe that they do have the answers. And maybe we need to get everybody together and do some brainstorming. And brainstorming is something I learned about at the age of 16, believe it or not. I was doing some job shadowing in an ad agency. And ad agencies are brilliant places to learn about the value of brainstorming, because they would bring the entire company together, from the tea lady to the production people, to the CEO, to the accounts managers and directors. And they would put the issue on the table for everybody to brainstorm. And the thing is, understanding that even if you don't come up with the right idea, that can lead to somebody else sparking with a better idea. So no idea is wrong or bad. It's all there to spark. We want one person's contribution to spark something in another person, in another person, in another person. And that's how we get to choose the best ideas on the table, by having more rather than less. And they don't all have to come from you. So brainstorming and spitballing, allow time in your week for that kind of thing, or in a meeting for brainstorming and spitballing to happen. People don't have to come to you with the perfect answer. They need to come to you. That's the important part, is that they're raising a hand and that they're contributing. Then the morning huddle, I think, is an important thing. Whether you have a team that reports to you online, or whether they meet you in the office, or whether you're in a hybrid situation, the morning huddle can still happen. Your door needs to be open for people to just come in casually with no agenda. This is the meeting with no agenda. A meeting with no agenda can yield amazing results, because you often hear things in a meeting with no agenda that you won't hear in a meeting that has an agenda. So this is by way of a real life example. If the leader of the team is at work by 7:30 a.m. in the morning, but they only start their real day at 8:30, that they say, my door is open from 7:30 to 8:30. I am physically in the office. So if you're physically in the office, pull in, come and sit down with your coffee. Let's shoot the breeze. If you have a hybrid situation, or you're in a virtual situation, you can have exactly the same thing. My screen will be on. I will be sitting here having my first coffee of the morning. Pop into the room. Let's have a chat, whether it's chatting about who won the soccer or the tennis last night, or whether it is that we have an upcoming election. Did you watch that debate on television last night? Or whether it is that you say to me, do you know, I was chatting to somebody from XYZ division in the company yesterday. Do you know what I heard? It's that stuff that needs to come out in the morning huddle. It's about having that open door policy. And then we need to talk about giving everyone agency, because remember, you've got different personality types showing up in your team. You've got the talker, who will dominate every meeting if you allow them, but you've got lots of wisdom in people who are not necessarily the talkers, but you need to give them agency. So I'm going to show you some tools. And if you have popped your email address into the chat, when you get the resources, you will also get links to these two things. You might have 5 people, 10 people. Maybe you've got a division of 20 or 30, or a leadership team of 40 people. Maybe you're going to have quite a number of people on the line. You need to use some facilitation tools, especially when you are online, to ring the changes and give different people different opportunities to contribute. And so I can use this wheel of names. And this wheel of names is about a game of chance. So I would have had all of your names on this wheel of names before we started this meeting, because I knew who was going to be online. And hey, it stops at dear. And so I say, dear, it's your turn to contribute. It means that if dear wasn't going to contribute, she now has to contribute because it fell on her name. So it means everybody gets the opportunity. So that's a lovely tool to have. And now we have Gabriel. So for want of, using today's delegates, it might be Sam. Sam, lovely to see you. Haven't seen you for a while, Dr. Sam. Sam, so what do you think about what's been put on the table right now? So we are putting people on the spot, but we want a team that's high performing. We want them to contribute. Here's another one. This is a rocket. You can set a timer. And I could say, so Brad, I'm setting the timer for 60 seconds because we don't have a lot of time in this meeting, but you've got 60 seconds to give me, pitch your best idea on this topic. And so we would start. And this is quite a fun little one because, the rocket is going to launch at the end of 60 seconds. If you're not finished, the whole screen is going to explode, and that's the end of your time. So it's a nice way of keeping people succinct and to time. And it adds a little bit of fun and a little bit of excitement to your presentation or to your meeting. So those are two tools that can really spice up your meeting. There's lots of versions of them, but I have used those to great effect. So I will gift you with links to download those. So let's talk about the third point. We've now spoken about raising your coaching skills, raising your facilitation skills, and I promised we would talk about making meetings that matter. So these meetings are important. We need meetings that have rhythm and consistency. Your meetings need to be fun. They need to be to the point. They need to stick to time, and they need to get stuff done. And people want to have, you want your people to have FOMO, to not want to miss those meetings, because if I'm in this meeting, I know what's going on. I know who's who, and I'm with a leader who cares and who knows who I am and is focusing me and is caring for me and all of those things, because it'll come out in your meetings too. We don't want meetings for presenteeism's sake. So your weekly team meeting needs to have a rhythm, as in it happens the same time every week on the same day, preferably. So you need to show up consistently, and canceling a meeting is like the last thing you will ever do. It would have to be for a really good reason. And I think what's important is that people know they can depend on that meeting taking place. They expect it's going to take place at the same time, and it does. And these meetings determine that degree of connection in your team. Now, I do believe that we need to have structure in meetings, and often this is missing in meetings today. So we need to keep to time. We need to keep them regular. And the thing that is most missing today is the status report that comes out from the meeting. The status report that says who has committed to do what by when. Super important. And many, particularly younger people, don't know what a status report is. What I do find is that when you're trying to be this empathetic, caring leader, sometimes you try and pack too much into a meeting. And you want to do the social piece and the nice, warm, fuzzy piece. And then you want to do the ops piece as well. Now, it depends how many people you have in your meeting. If you only have 5 people in the meeting, you can quickly go around the room for 5 minutes and get everyone to update and share how they feel. That's fine. But if you're sitting with 20 people in a meeting, you do not have time in your hour to get everybody to talk about how they feel. So if you're going to need to have a more personal social meeting, I really suggest that that becomes like a monthly get to know you type meeting, where we can delve into the more personal social stuff separately. And we can keep it separate from the operational stuff. And in those more social ones, you can have a lot more fun. You can ask people to share things, about themselves, what's important to them, the latest movie that they've enjoyed the most, the series they're watching on TV that they would recommend to other people, how many children they have, all those sorts of things. The team cuddle, I call it the team cuddle, is the social meeting where we talk about the warm, fuzzy stuff, where we share about ourselves, where we get to know each other better. And it's far more, about the positive people piece, But beyond the work and the expectation of delivery, that we delve deeper into that. And I suggest that you have a team cuddle at least once a month. It could be in person, it could be online. That's where you use great icebreakers, where you have fun, and you get them out of their heads. And I think that that's important, that we get them out of their heads. So you can ring the changes. That's where you can get people to wear a hat. You can get them to wear red. You can do those fun kinds of things. And then also, in any kind of meeting, why don't you share the roles? You don't have to be leading the whole meeting. You could get somebody to manage the shout out. So for each meeting, a different person handles the shout out, where they're asking everybody, who's your shout out for the week? Who's the person who's made the biggest difference in your job? And it's important that it's not just you who's acknowledging the people in the team, that you get team members to acknowledge each other, because we are a team and it doesn't always have to be you who's doing all that people work. Let's raise other people up to be great leaders beneath us so that we can do ourselves out of a job. Wouldn't that be great if we could raise leaders who had the mindset to do themselves out of a job because they're raising other leaders? So you need to be in control as a leader. Very, very important that people know you have control. When I say that, it's not micromanagement. It's about a sense of people feeling safe in your company. And Sam, you're a doctor. I know that, you know, psychological safety is just as important in terms of health as physical health. How our minds are operating and thinking and what we believe is going to impact on how we show up in the world, our mental health, etc. So self-leadership of a leader is important, how you lead yourself. So let's go back to how we're helping our teams to focus on last week and next week. You also need to go into last week and next week. If no one's asking you, how was last week? Maybe you should be asking yourself and giving yourself a report back. What didn't work for me was, what did work for me was, and these are my priorities for next week, and this is where I need help. So what you focus on will flourish. If your focus is too broad, you will be scattered. You also need to narrow down your focus. And if you need help to narrow down your focus, sometimes ask for somebody to be that muse for you, where you can sit and say, I've got too much on my plate. I need to go through this. I'm doing too much. I've lost my focus. Help me regain my focus. What is the most important thing that I need to be doing right now? So narrow down that focus, because what you focus on will flourish, and where you put your most focus is what's going to grow the most. If you put your most focus on the negative stuff, that's what you're going to get more of. And then you have to manage your inner critic. You know, we talk about imposter syndrome. I do believe imposter syndrome applies to every single one of us on different days at different times. It's the inner critic who says, I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy of this, or this is too hard, or maybe I don't have the skills. And I find that Julia Cameron's morning pages from The Artist's Way. Anybody heard of Julia Cameron and The Artist's Way, the book The Artist's Way? Ah, Andrea, have you got the book? I thought you were about to lean back and grab it and shake it in front of us on your bookshelf over there. Great book to read. Not because you don't have to be an artist. Everybody is an artist. I think every leader should think of themselves as an artist of people, of leading a team. And I find that when my head is going in too many different directions or thinking negative, the best thing to do at the beginning of every morning before I hit the page or before I hit the stage or back before I hit my team with a meeting is that I spend a few minutes writing down my inner chatter. Stream of consciousness, do not judge it. Even if you write down, I don't know what to write, I don't know what to write 10 times, eventually you will know what to write. And write down all the really rubbishy things you might be thinking about yourself or your team in particular. And I promise you, eventually you start writing positive stuff. So get it out of your head, then it declutters your mind. And a really lovely tool I want to give you is the law of awareness versus effort, because every leader gets stuck from time to time. Every leader gets stuck. And what I do is I fold a piece of paper in half like so. And then I have two columns and I write down what's holding me to ransom. And I use a very emotive word. What's holding me to ransom? What's keeping me stuck? And I write those down in the left-hand column. Anything where I feel stuck. And then in the right-hand column, I write down any action that I know I can take to mitigate the stuckness. And for some things I've written down, there is nothing I know of that I can do. I leave it blank because sometimes we don't know what to do. But the secret in the law of awareness versus effort, and it's just a phrase I coined, a law I coined, by practicing this writing down where I'm held to ransom is often I'm holding myself to ransom because I don't think I'm good enough or because I'm frozen and I can't take the next step. And so by writing things down, by emptying my head a bit like the morning pages, but now I'm doing it deliberately, not in big sentences. Now it's bullet points. I empty my head of the problem and I actually give it over to the universe. Because if there is nothing I can write down in the action column and I sleep on it, or I come back to this list in a week's time, there are two things that are going to happen. One is that some of the things that I've been speaking about will have resolved themselves with very little effort. And those things where I couldn't write down any action steps, suddenly I now have solutions for that. Funny how that can happen, hey? It's very, very interesting how if we give it over by acknowledging it, things can actually get better with less effort. And actually, we need things to take less time and less effort as much as possible. Chris, are you raising a hand to ask a question?
Yeah, Nikki, we've very close to reaching the time limit and I don't want you to stop. It's so, so interesting. And I think we're all are taking so much insight out of this. I think it would be great if we could schedule a second session and we can continue.
Great. I'm very happy to do that. And I'm going to wrap up right now. So make sure you've put your email addresses into the chat for Chris so that he can send them to me and I can send you the resources. Because the tips to take on board to wrap up, and I'm going to give you the resources and the action you're going to take after today in the next slide. The tips are, number one, I've been talking about paying deep attention. Number two, I've been talking about the power of reinventing your one-on-ones with your direct reports. And tip number three, I have not been advising you to rescue your people. I've been advising you on how to empower them to go and do the job that you hired them to do anyway, so that you and they can add value to the business. The resources for high-touch leadership. What you are going to do today, number one, which isn't written down here, is that you are going to put your email address in the chat for Chris, who's going to send them to me. You are going to get a video about how to reinvent your one-on-ones to recap on what I have told you. You are going to get a link to the spinner and the timer so that you can download those and start using them. Tomorrow, you are going to book your one-on-ones with your direct reports and you're going to start practicing the framework. And the second thing you're going to do is start writing down the top five most important things to your direct reports. What are the five most important things in each of their lives? Do you know those things? And if you don't, your one-on-ones are going to start revealing those things to you because they will start sharing things with you that are both personal and professional. So I've really challenged you today to look at the people part of leadership. Can it be another way? Have I answered that question? Can it be another way? Can we lead our people in a more high-touch way that is actually far more productive for both them and for you? Have we answered the question how to bring out the coach in you, how to raise your facilitation skills, and how to create more meetings that matter? Have we done that? Can we have a show of hands? Have we done that? Fantastic. Love your two thumbs up, Andrea. Thank you so much. Thanks, Heather. Thanks, Steve. Lovely to have you here. It really does not have to be lonely at the top. You need to make yourself more supportable by using the tools that we've given you today. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nikki. Wow, what a great session. And I think we all took in so much. And I can't wait for the second one.
Fabulous. We'll set that up. Take care.
Yes. Awesome. So I hope everyone has a great week ahead. And thank you for tuning in, listening to Nikki Bush. If you're on the call or listening offline, we'll see you again next week. Thanks again, Nikki. And
Cheers,
everyone,
Chris.
have a great week ahead. Bye.